Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me as always on a Wednesday evening. If you really want to join me, do it on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. We'll talk some Mississippi State sports here, or, you know, whatever, life advice. I'm here for you guys. Rhino is in Studio X. We did have shenanigans last week, so our long streak has ended. But we will press forward and start a new streak today with today's show. So thank you for Rhino for being here for us. Thank you guys for being here with me. We are brought to you by the good folks at Visit Vicksburg, Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau, my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi. Throughout the show, I'll be telling you some of the cool things happening in the city of Vicksburg. When we talked to Jeff Lebby on Monday, you know, you could tell he was kind of tired of the moral victory question. It's been 3 weeks in a row of getting the moral victory question. I think he's had quite enough of that question. And I would imagine that Mississippi State fans, by and large, have had enough of that question, too. They're ready for a regular old-fashioned victory question. Can that happen this week? Mississippi State taking on the Arkansas Razorbacks. I will give Arkansas full credit. They're a lot better than I thought they would be this season. They already have 4 wins. I think, let me check out my handy-dandy helmet schedule here. I had them pegged for 3 this year. So they're already ahead of that pace, and they still got a game with Louisiana Tech coming up that I think they can win pretty easily. So this game for Arkansas is kind of the difference between a bowl or no. They win this game, they're going to go 6-6 at worst, and they're going to go to a bowl game, and Sam Pittman probably gets to come back and coach another year. They lose this game, they're in trouble. Because then they got to find to go to a bowl game, they got to find a win out of Ole Miss, Texas, and at Missouri. Easier said than done. It's odd to say a win for a team that's 1-6 would be, you know, a big deal, right? Because, I mean, at this point, State's not likely to rule off 5 in a row and get into postseason play. So if you win a game here, it could very easily just be the difference between 3-9 and 2-10. But for a team that has played better each of the last 3 weeks and feels like it's getting closer to breaking through, for a team that's showing the amount of improvement they have offensively over the last 3 games, it does feel like Mississippi State needs to find a way to win this football game. And I think a win in this situation would give them a lot of momentum. You know, they play UMass next week. I certainly think they can win that game. But I would be willing to tell you that if State can win their next 2, then of their final 3, they can get 1 more. And I don't know. I don't think it's at Tennessee. That's a tough one. But Missouri at home, and I know, just go ahead and cover your ears, Rebel fans, if you're listening. The Egg Bowl, you could get one of those if things play in your favor. But, I mean, State's going to be big underdogs in both those games. Don't make any mistake about that. And losing by double digits, you know, would be not surprising. I'm just saying that there's a path for State in those games. But it's got to start this weekend. It's got to happen on Saturday. You've reached that point where if it doesn't happen here, I would just tell you that you're going to beat UMass and that's going to be that. You'd be 2-10. And for whatever I want to say about Jeff Lebby, whatever I want to try to convince you of how he's got things going in the right direction here in Starkville and things will be better next year, all you're going to see is 2-10. It's like a scarlet letter. It's you're just going to have to wear it. And there's no getting around that. So State really could go for a little positivity this weekend. You know, 11:45 kick. So, you know, from a crowd perspective, I don't really know what to expect. I thought it was a decent enough crowd last week when you're talking about a 1-5 football team. I can't get overly, you know, upset that the stadium wasn't packed to see a 1-5 football team. I just can't. I thought the crowd was fine. I don't know if it'll be as many this week, but I think they can crack 40,000 and be in the 45,000 range somewhere. I think a lot of Mississippi State fans have kind of circled this game and said, look, we like to see an SEC team, and this is the best chance to win. So they might be headed up for this one. Dogs need to find a way through this game. And if they can do that, then they can start to have some just some tiny building blocks for the future. You know, coaches, when they come into a new situation, they're always talking about building the foundation. You can't, this season will not complete a foundation at all. There's a lot of work left to be done here in Starkville. But you can start laying those bricks of the foundation. And I'm not trying to go Butch Jones on you here. But a win here, a win next week, looking competent the rest of the way, maybe finding one more upset victory. Then you've got something you can sell not only to recruits and to transfers, but to your own fans. It's going to be tough to sell 2-10 to anybody. 4-8, when you consider you started 1-6, that's sellable. That's where you can point to things and say, look, we got off to a bad start. We made some, you know, we fixed a few things. We got better as the year went along. And by the time the season ended, we were playing our best football. You can sell that. You can get people to buy tickets next year. You can get recruits to sign on the dotted line. You can get transfers to come in from the portal. 2-10, that's a much, much tougher sell. And it doesn't really matter. I mean, State could lose those games all 42-41, and the offense is humming and throwing the ball all over the place, but you didn't get any wins. And they've reached the point in the season where the wins are really all that matters. Got to win this one. Going to be tough. You're right. It's going to be very tough. This is, like I said, this Arkansas team, they're not good. They're a good, bad team. We have good teams, we have bad teams. We have bad, good teams, and we have good, bad teams. Arkansas is a good, bad team. They're not actually good, but they're good enough. They can win some games. If you make mistakes, they will take advantage. They're very good defensively. They're limited offensively. So if you're limited offensively, great news. You're playing Mississippi State, who is very good offensively. Oh, let me take that. They're good offensively. I wouldn't say they're very good just yet. But defensively, they're a train wreck, an absolute train wreck. We're going to go through some of the numbers. And if you're not sitting down, and if you've already eaten, I might caution you to listen to this segment. It might be a little much for you. State will shock someone and put that team's playoff hopes in jeopardy. Their last three games are against teams that will have playoff hopes. No question about that. So we'll see how that goes. Got to do something about the DC. Get Zach back. Nah, Zach Arnett's not returning to Mississippi State. Just take that thought, put it out of your head. Never happened. But you do have to do something about the defensive coordinator because you can't go on like this. And I don't see how you're going to sell recruits on this guy being the guy to bring them, you know, take you up a level. That's going to be a very, very tough sell to convince recruits to come. I mean, that's why you didn't succeed this year in the portal, because recruits were telling you, I don't know anything about this guy. I got no track record to base it on, so I'm not coming. Now he does have a track record, and it's going to be statistically the worst defense in the conference by a large, large margin. That doesn't strike me as a way to get recruits confident in your program. So, you know, I think change is coming on that front all along that staff on the defensive side of the ball. No way he's happy at Ole Miss. He may not be happy at Ole Miss, but he's not coming back to Mississippi State. And just those can be two separate things. Zach Arnett will not be at Mississippi State next year. If he is, you can come back and make fun of me. But if he is, I'll be, I wouldn't be any more surprised if I woke up with my head sewn to the carpet, I believe is what Clark Griswold had to say on that particular matter. The idea that State's going to beat somebody is, I mean, you look at the SEC this year, and Arkansas has beaten Tennessee, and Alabama has lost to Vanderbilt. Kentucky beats Ole Miss. Vanderbilt goes and then beats Kentucky. South Carolina beats Kentucky. Everybody's kind of beating up on each other a little bit. Texas and Georgia are the only two who you can say have just been kind of consistent all year long. Maybe LSU. You know, LSU doesn't have a conference loss. A&M doesn't have a conference loss, but they have non-conference losses. It feels like there's an opportunity for State to grab an upset, but I don't think they can do that unless they win here. They need the momentum that will come with a win. Somebody mentions the Oklahoma head coach would be pretty good. It'd be interesting if there was a world where Brent Venables could work for Jeff Lebby next year. That would be, I don't know that you've ever seen that quick of a turnaround. That being said, Venable's buyout is ridiculous because Oklahoma stupidly bid against themselves and extended his contract this summer when literally no one was trying to hire him. Literally no one. So I guess that's just the way that goes. You quit bidding against yourself. If you're an athletic director and you're listening to me, quit bidding against yourself. Just stop doing it. It never works. It never actually works for you. Ah, I think State can win this weekend. I really do think so. I'm going back and forth on this prediction a lot just because I don't trust State's defense, and I'm going to lay out the case for why when we come back. But at the same time, I just feel like State is due for a win at this point. I don't think they're going to go 0-8 in the conference, and I think they have a chance here to get to another win here. I really do think that. I'll give you my prediction at the end of the show, though. We'll talk about that later. Let's talk defense when we come back, as much as we might not want to. We've got to put these numbers into perspective of what State's doing defensively. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
Welcome back to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. We are brought to you by Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. This Friday and Saturday, Twisted Tales of Terror. The Vicksburg Theater Guild will present the event at 7:30 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, and then 2 o'clock on Sunday at the Parkside Playhouse. Tickets are $15, $10 for seniors and youths, $8 for children, 12 and under. And they also have group rates if you're interested in that. For more information, visit www.e-vtg.com or call 636-601-636-0471. Get a little holiday, a little Halloween scare in you. If you really want a Halloween scare, you can look at Mississippi State's defensive stats, though. That's what you should do, because, wow, are they bad. So I'm going to try to put them in perspective for you. We really need, because I've had some discussions with some people about, you know, it's a talent issue. And look, I will definitely agree that talent-wise, Mississippi State is not up to snuff. They don't have enough SEC-quality players. There's no question about that. The problem is that State's defense is not even MAC-talented, based on these numbers, which isn't true. State has enough players to not give up 41 points and 400-plus yards to Toledo. They have enough players to not give up 260 yards rushing to Arizona State. So that's not a talent issue. So let's look at them. Mississippi State, as you might can guess, is dead last in the conference in scoring defense, 33.29 points per game. Florida is second to last. And you're thinking, okay, what are they giving up, 31 a game? No, 23.5. State, there's basically a 10-point per game gap between the team in second to last and the team in last. To put that into perspective, there is also a 10-point gap between Florida, who's 15th, and Tennessee, who's third. Tennessee is giving up 12 points per game. Florida's giving up 24. So 12 points per game, not a huge gap there. It's 2 points. I'm 2 points off there. If you want to really be, you know, nitpicky, you could say Missouri. Missouri's giving up 16 points per game. They're in fourth. So the gap between fourth and 15th is less than the gap between 15th and 16th. And again, just trying to put some things into perspective here for you guys. From a yardage perspective, State is obviously, again, dead last. 449.71 yards per game. 450 yards a game of offense. Florida, again, is second to worst, 371 yards per game. So a difference of 80 yards per game. Going back up, The team that's in fifth is Ole Miss. They're giving up 290 yards a game. So the gap between 5th and 15th is the same as the gap between 15th and 16th. I mean, it's just difficult to wrap your head around. The top team in the conference for getting sacks is South Carolina. South Carolina averages 4 sacks per game. They average 4 sacks per game. Through 7 games, they have 28 sacks. State has 5 sacks total in 7 games. The team that's in 15th, it's a tie with Vanderbilt and Arkansas. They each have 14 sacks. So those teams have basically 3 more times more sacks than Mississippi State does. State is averaging 0.71 sacks per game. They are the only team in the conference averaging less than, not just one, but 2 sacks per game. The only one. Oddly enough, South Carolina and Oklahoma have the most sacks. They also have given up the most sacks, which is kind of weird. State is third in that, giving up 22 sacks on the season. 5 sacks, that seems almost impossible. It seems like at least once per game a player would just roll out and run into a defensive lineman, but it's just not happening. It's just not happening. Mississippi State's defense is easily the worst I can remember at Mississippi State. I know a lot of people go back and they want to talk about the Peter Sermon era. That defense was better than this one is. There's no getting around that. That team on the season gave up a total of 413 points. So through 13 games, I'll do some quick math here. 413 divided by 13 is... Do the math for me, Rhino. I know you're a mathematical genius. It's 31.7 points per game. This current MSU team is 2 points per game worse than that right this second. And they still have to play Tennessee, good offensive team. Tennessee on the season's averaging 39 a game. Ole Miss, they still have to play them, averaging 41 a game. I know that those numbers are skewed by Ole Miss, by what they did in the non-conference and what they did in the conference. But I'm going to tell you that from a defensive ranking standpoint, Georgia Southern, Middle Tennessee, and Wake Forest, I believe, are all ahead of Mississippi State on the defensive rankings, just to give you an idea. They have to play Missouri. Missouri's averaging 32 points per game. And, of course, State not likely to play a 13th game. So State is, like I said, they're on pace right now to give up about 35 points per game. Now, some people are. I got into it a little bit yesterday on the text line with somebody about this, and they were saying, well, didn't you say this defense was going to be bad going into the offseason? You said that they're going to be bad. Why are you so, you know, up in arms about maybe making a change? Yeah, I said they would be bad. I did say that. I did not think they would be this bad. I did not think they would be statistically the worst defense in school history and one of the bottom 5 defenses in the country bad. I did not think that for 1 second of my life. I did not. And so that's just rough. I can't read that, but that's really funny from the 228. Good stuff. We pretty much said that this was going to be a historically bad defense at the first of the season, and it has not let us down. Even in that first game, I made some comments about how the State struggled rushing the passer, and they struggled stopping the run a little bit, and it has not changed one bit. That Arizona State game where they gave up 260 yards rushing. It was 350 yards rushing. It was 260 to one guy. I mean, that's just brutal. And it's just been like that the whole year. So, yeah, the thing we said in the offseason over and over again was, boy, if State could just be 80th or 90th in scoring defense, they would have a real opportunity to be a bowl team and maybe, you know, pull off a couple of upsets and have a great first season if they're just, 80th or 90th in scoring defense. That's not where they're going to be. Currently, Mississippi State sits at 1-6, tied for 116 with UMass, a team they're going to play a little later this year. Southern Miss is actually behind them. If you want to find a bright spot in that, they're there at 119. Mississippi State is behind teams in scoring defense, is behind Wake Forest, who I just mentioned. They are not behind Middle Tennessee, so I guess I was off on that one. Who was the other one? Georgia Southern? I don't see Georgia Southern here. They might actually may have made the second page of these rankings. Look at them go. Georgia Southern is 97th. They're only giving up 28 points per game. So of those teams that Ole Miss is beating up on, I know one of them is the FCS team, but it just is what it is there. 3-3-5 doesn't work. And, you know, State is running. It's a three-man front. They have that Jack linebacker, that hybrid, who's kind of on the line of scrimmage as well. But teams are just getting whatever they want when they run the football on Mississippi State. You know, I thought State did actually a decent job of slowing down A&M's running game last week, which was very surprising considering how good they had been coming in. But A&M had what? I don't know how many drives they had off the top of my head. But they punted twice. They threw two picks. Everything else they scored on. State, I believe, has only forced five punts in SEC play. I think that number is correct. I'm almost positive that it is. Five punts. They've played four games and they've forced five punts. Come on, guys. You can't go on like this. So when people ask me, do I think there's going to be a change at the end of the season defensively? I just look at the numbers. How do you sell people on that if coming back? How do you get people excited about your program if you're bringing back a defensive coordinator who did that? You can't. Unless you're going to, I mean, if you go out and surprise and put together an unbelievable transfer portal class, maybe. But I feel that's unlikely because guys are going to look at those stats and go, why would I want to play there for that guy? What has he done? I can't stake my career on that. That's going to be very difficult to do. So if you ask me, if you ask old Brian, hey, Dad, will there be change at the end of the season on the defensive side of the ball? I just don't see how you can't with numbers like this. Simple as that. I want to talk a little more recruiting when we come back because so what is the opposing team's passing percentage? 72.4. Teams are completing nearly 73% of their passes against Mississippi State, which you might guess is also the highest number in the conference. Let's talk recruiting when we come back. Mississippi State had a huge visitor on campus this weekend. Can they pull off the big flip? Can Caleb Cunningham be a Bulldog? I want to talk about that and a couple other things recruiting-wise when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Do you suffer from allergies?
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Welcome back to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Fall. Woof. You can tell I'm used to doing certain things. I get into routines, Rhino. I am a creature of routine. Please forgive me. Brian Haydad here, though, with you on a Wednesday evening. Appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, as the C Spire text line is available to you, 601-879-4395. We're brought to you by Visit Vicksburg. We'll keep the scary theme going. This Saturday at the Southern Cultural Heritage Foundation, the Paranormal Convention, ScareCon. The event will be from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. at the Southern Cultural Heritage Foundation. Vendors, paranormal teams, and more, and it's free of charge. So if you're into that kind of stuff, if you're into the ghost hunting and then the things of that nature, they're going to have a whole convention for you there at the Southern Cultural Heritage Foundation over on Adams Street. Rhino, did you ever watch those show, like the paranormal activity shows and the ghost hunters? You into that?
Not really into it, but I've watched it.
So I can sometimes I feel like they were actually like something happened. Like that's like 5% of the time. The other 95% of the time they're like, what was that?
Always like the ones where they had the camera attached to them facing their face and they would go to like some abandoned insane asylum and they would just, all right, this is the safe room. You go.
Yeah.
And they just let them wander.
Yeah. Just, you know, there was one I remember, I think it was on MTV where like, they made a contest out of it, like who could stay the longest or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the guy had to sit in an old, it was an old prison, and the guy had to sit for, like, an hour in an old electric chair. Just sit there No, nothing. Just camera on him, wasn't allowed to talk. And if he did that, he got to win. And he won. He sat there for an hour. So, and I was just thinking about that. I was like, could I do it? Sit there in the dark for an hour in an abandoned prison?
You just got to find your zen.
I guess, man. I don't have a lot of zen. People will tell you. That's why I'll take 5 blood pressure medications. And I don't have, what's zen? Is that another blood pressure medication? That's something that'll bring it down? So, glad you got your name right. I got my name right. I did good. I'm Brian. Hey. All right. This past weekend, the number one recruit in the state of Mississippi, one of the top recruits in all of the country, Choctaw County wide receiver Caleb Cunningham was on campus. He had been on campus earlier this year and had been kind of blunt in his assessment because he was there for the Toledo game. And he was just very blunt. He's, did not see what I wanted to see. One thing I like about Caleb Cunningham, and, you know, I'll be honest with you, in the summer we kind of made some jokes about Caleb Cunningham and like, you know, he would go on a visit and be like, oh, man, they shot right to the top of my list, and it became sort of a running joke. Then he committed to Alabama. And, you know, those comments kind of died down. And then he has gotten – I don't know that I've ever seen a recruit talk about visits the way he does. Like, when he went to Auburn, they lost, and he basically came out and said, didn't see what I wanted to see here today. And from that point, kind of scratched Auburn off the list. He was in Starkville Saturday. Obviously, State did not win, but he made a lot of comments. And you can read, speaking of Robbie Faulk, you can read his article, his interview with Caleb Cunningham on the On3 website. And he talked about how, you know, he could see the pieces for State. Obviously, Van Buren is an interesting guy for him, a chance to play with a quarterback who clearly seems to have a lot of talent, could play alongside Mario Craver. That's a situation that he could see himself playing in. He says he loves Coach Lebby, loves Coach Bumpus, but, and it's a big but, he's looking into his future in the NFL, and he knows that Mississippi State is a school that has not developed wide receivers at any kind of rate over the last 3 decades. We've talked about it before. 1996, Eric Molds is the last Mississippi State wide receiver to be drafted in the NFL. And that's not as a first-round pick, that's just as a pick. Any round of the NFL, there has not been a Mississippi State receiver have his name called since 1996. And you think about the rest of the SEC, and what are the odds of that? And State's had some good receivers in that time, guys who were good college football players, but not one to the NFL. And so Cunningham is considering that. I would tell you this, that just one thing I like to say, is that I do believe perception is reality, right? What you perceive, what people believe, is better than what actually is 90% of the time. For more about that, you can listen to Gallo or Cross in the morning, because that's how politics works, right? They just tell you something and you believe it. Never actually is that way. With Cunningham, I would tell you the perception for me is that is a recruit that would change a lot about your program. Obviously, flipping a guy from Alabama would be a massive statement, right? State has recruited guys who could have gone to Alabama before. They have signed guys who could have gone to Alabama. Jeff Simmons could have gone to Alabama. Charles Cross could have gone to Alabama. Even players who weren't that great at Mississippi State, Nathan Pickering could have gone to Alabama. You know, so they've gotten those guys. But flipping a guy from Alabama is kind of a rare thing. I can't remember one off the top of my head, unless you want to count Leo Lewis, who went Alabama to Ole Miss to Mississippi State. So that's one thing, right? Then there's the other side of, you know, this is a state that year in, year out, hey, they produce a lot of great talent, and you get a lot of 4-star guys, not a lot of 5-stars, not a lot. You might get one every other year. You know, you think about the state of Texas, they'll produce 5 5-stars this year, Florida, Georgia, same one. And this kid's in your backyard. This is not, it's not a 5-star kid from the coast. He's not from Macomb. He's not from South Haven. He's from 30 minutes away. Grew up coming to Mississippi State games. Has a great connection with Mississippi State through Bumpus. His two of his best friends are on the team right now, J.J. Harrell and Stonka Burnside. I think it's going to be incredibly difficult to flip this kid. I'll say that just from the jump. Because he is committed to Alabama. And what's helped you incredibly this year is that Alabama has struggled. They aren't, you know, the first cracks are starting to show in the foundation over there. And if, gosh, help them if they lose another game this year and don't make the college football playoff, which right now I wouldn't say they're in a position to do, but they have to go to LSU in a couple weeks, and I don't think they're going to win that game. They're going to go 9-3 and be in the Citrus Bowl. Now, they got a lot to sell. DeBoer, you know, puts guys in the NFL. His offense is very pass-heavy. You're talking about being paired up with Ryan Williams, the number one receiver, you know, well, maybe one of the number one receivers in the country. Only 17. Don't know if you knew that or not. There's a lot to sell at Alabama. But Mississippi State, to me, you have to sell Caleb Cunningham on two things. One, you're going to have to give him a tremendous NIL deal. But two, you have to sell him on the idea that you can be the player that changes the national perception of Mississippi State. What is signing day 2024 if we wake up that morning and Caleb Cunningham has flipped from Alabama to Mississippi State on that day? Well, State's the talk of the day. National attention, national stories. You know, I said back in the summer, there was a time early summer that I would have told you that I thought State was the favorite for Caleb Cunningham. Then when he visited Alabama, that quickly changed. That's fine. But I said many times, I was like, I wish they could go ahead and get him in the boat to help him pull in some other recruits. It didn't happen that way. State's recruiting class has taken some hits over the past few weeks. They've lost some guys. I think part of that is due to, you know, they're not sure what's going to happen defensively, but you know, they've lost a couple of offensive guys, too, including Mario Nash, the big tackle out of Kemper County. That's the guy they wanted to have. This guy says playing behind number two at Alabama is an issue. He wouldn't be behind him. He'd be on the other side of him. That's the kind of player Cunningham is. He would be. They'd split them both out. They'd both be on the field. So it wouldn't be, the problem wouldn't be playing behind two. The problem would be the defense is trying to cover those two guys. Because Cunningham is a absolute stud, would play early at Alabama. Would be on the starting lineup maybe the first weekend. So I don't know if State can flip this kid or not. I know this, that State, if recruiting hard got you the signature, State would win. Because I don't think anybody has recruited this kid harder than Lebby and Bumpus have. But that might just be enough to finish second place. And hey, in this day and age of college football, finishing second place sometimes means 2 years from now you get the guy. Because they enter the transfer portal. The problem is going to be with Caleb Cunningham. Wherever he goes, he's going to be successful, I would think. Just right from the start. And, you know, it's going to be a situation like, does he really want to leave? I don't know if that's going to be the case or not for him. If State could somehow flip that guy on signing day, it would be a massive win. It would be almost, this sounds kind of weird to say, but it would be almost like winning a game for Jeff Lebby. It goes back to what we were talking about in the first few minutes of the show. Let's say Jeff Lebby can get to four wins, right? Let's say, you know, Ole Miss fans, just calm down. Let's just say they beat Arkansas and beat UMass and beat Missouri. They finish 4-8, right? Feels like they got a little momentum there at the end of the season. Then you go into the recruiting class and you sign Caleb Cunningham. And then you go into the transfer portal and you drop a boatload of money and you bring in enough guys to make a difference on defense, well, now all of a sudden you're a much different team, and people are talking about you a lot different going into next year. Can it happen? I don't know. We'll see. It'll be tough. But State's still in the game, and that's more than I thought I could say a month or two ago for them with Caleb Cunningham. All right, we'll wrap it up when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Now,
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Let's wrap things up here on a Wednesday evening. Super Talk Mississippi, Brian Haydad, Thunder and Lightning. As always, guys, really appreciate you tuning in on a Wednesday. Appreciate you guys tuning into the Thunder and Lightning podcast. We've been having a great go of that, putting out a lot of great content for you. And we're going to add to it. We're going to add to the mix here. So it's been a long time coming. It's going to start next week. The podcast will be available on YouTube. Now you're asking yourself right now. You're like, well, I thought it was already available on YouTube. And it is. You can listen to the Thunder and Lightning podcast on YouTube if you want. But wait, there's more. You can watch the Thunder and Lightning podcast. That's right. Robbie Falk and I will be doing live video of the podcast and putting it up each and every day available to you on YouTube. So if you just really want to look at my face, and I'm going to be honest with you, because you know I care about you. That's weird that you want to look at this guy. That's fine. It'll be available to you on YouTube 5 days a week. So it's going to be kind of lo-fi to begin with. We're trying to figure some things out, but just give us some time. We'll have some cool graphics and stuff at some point. Hey, speaking of YouTube, the Thunder and Lightning post-game show will be available to you almost immediately. So, like, after the game, there's like, you know, they got to play the fight song and the alma mater, and then the PA guy plays a couple of more songs, which is weird. Stadium's empty. Don't know why you're still playing music, but whatever. As soon as that ends, Thunder and Lightning Live on YouTube, Super Talk YouTube channel. Subscribe if you haven't already. You'll get a notification, and we'll recap everything that happens on Saturday out there. Dwayne, we're just gonna have this conversation now. I want you to listen to me, all right? Would State have done better if Will was still there? No. No. The things that Van Buren and Chapin are doing in this offense, Will Rogers cannot do. He cannot throw the ball down the field the way those two guys do. He cannot move in the pocket the way those two guys do. No, Will. No, Dwayne. Will Rogers would not have made this team any better. He wouldn't be starting. He would not be starting over. He would not have started over Chapin. He would not start over Van Buren. End of discussion. I like Will. I'm pulling for him at Washington. I hope he does well. He was always really good to interview. Always a good kid, I thought. But no. Simple as that. I can't be any clearer about it than that. You know, I see people on the message boards, and there's a lot of Will Rogers. I don't know if hate's the right word, but when he doesn't play well, people like to point it out. I thought Will played as hard as he possibly could for Mississippi State for 4 years, and he wanted to move on. And he, look, that guy had to have, I mean, never mind being the pressure of being at Mississippi State when things kind of fell apart last year. You know, his relationship with Mike Leach, I'm sure they were exceptionally close, and he just wanted to move on. And he's more than welcome to do that. That's what the transfer portal affords you the opportunity to do. But he would not have done well. If he would have done well in this offense, I think Jeff Lebby would have made a massive move to try to keep him. But Will Rogers is not a fit in this style of offense. He's not a runner, first and foremost. And this offense, you know, thrives on the QB run. And he doesn't have the big enough arm to throw the ball down the field the way this offense wants to. Van Buren and Chapin are just better throwers of the football than Will Rogers was. Rogers did incredible things in the air raid, set records that will likely never be broken at Mississippi State. And if Mike Leach doesn't pass away, Will Rogers leads Mississippi State as the SEC's all-time leading passer. State goes to a bowl game next year, and Rogers is remembered as one of the greatest quarterbacks in SEC history. But unfortunately, it didn't pan out that way. And I hate it because, you know, I hate it losing Mike Leach. And that's just one of the butterfly effects of all of that happening, so... This is what it is, guys. It is what it is. State Arkansas prediction time. Let's do that. I've gone back and forth with this so much, and I'm going to go against my better judgment and take State to win here. I just feel like they're due for that win. I don't think Arkansas can go score for score with State. I think State will get points on the board. I know Arkansas is going to get points on the board. I know that they are. But and if you listen to the interview we did earlier with John Neighbors on Sports Talk Mississippi, if you listen to my interview with Jackson Fuller tomorrow on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed, they both say the same thing. Arkansas is turnover prone, and their turnovers are backbreakers. They turn the ball over when you don't need to turn the ball over. I think that's going to happen on Saturday. State gets the win. 35-31 is going to be my prediction for this one. I think the Dogs get the win. They'll win this week. Then they can win next week. They call that a winning streak. We'll see where it takes us. Guys, as always, I appreciate you tuning in to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Appreciate you guys tuning into the podcast. For Rhino, we did it. Another shenanigan-free show. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.